This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. I spent the weekend at a game developer conference here in Georgia, mostly demoing the Oculus Rift, but I do want to talk about EA Sports getting rid of college football. Tonight is October 6th, 2013, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Skype's nonsense is super effective. Making me start late because I've been gone all weekend and I don't know. Hello, everybody, and welcome to finally another live edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. Hello, welcome. If you are here live, since we're live for the first time in 2 weeks, here at the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, head on over to our chat room, live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read chat intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. I'm a little rusty. I haven't done this for a while, apparently. Forgot where everything is. It's going to be fun. So, but you can participate there, and you can also check in on the site. I did have check-ins up and put the right show number in there, episode number. That was almost a disaster. But you can check in just like SSJ100 Matt and Tiger Claw, who both checked in. Actually, hang on. I got to look at this. Hang on. Okay, so it's a first and second place tied. So I'm going to break the rules, and I'm going to read everybody that got in. So this one... So 7 seconds after the show went live, SJ100 Matt, Tiger Claw, and E3VL all checked in 7 seconds after the show went live. 2 seconds after that, so 9 seconds after the show went live, ActDeft and Fifth Dream both checked in at the exact same time. So we got a three-way tie for first, two-way tie for second. Thank you for crashing the site. You can check in if you are live. You can sign in to VogNetwork.com, or you can listen for a passphrase somewhere in tonight's episode, and you will get the same amount of points and the same amount of love, even if I don't say your name at the beginning here. So you can check in by putting that knit word somewhere on the site. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Bobby Black will show all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can contact me on my website, BobbyBlackwolf.com. See, all says scripts. That's what it was. Fifth Dream says chicken palooza. Havoc978 says chicken apocalypse. Chicken apocalypse. Chicken pox. Chicken wings. I don't know. One of the things I do like to do is I like to read comments from the previous episode. And since last week was just a podcast-only episode, there were actually comments that I can read. Last week, I did an entire episode about the Games for Health Jam, which was a 48-hour game jam, but it was actually sponsored by the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. And basically, it was people had to make games raising awareness for some type of winnable battle that the CDC is facing in terms of public awareness and advocation of health and stuff like that. I actually interviewed people from the CDC, people in the Serious Games Initiative, some of the students, some of the teams that were a part of it, and it went over really well locally as well here in the Georgia game community, as well as on our podcast feed in the comments. And I do want to read some of these. PKJR92 says that it's nice to see organizations and small branches of government embracing games as tools for education and awareness. If this kind of thing is successful and is proven to work, I'd love to see it in schools and public events. In my opinion, this kind of thing is much more effective than a stray pamphlet or 20-minute lecture. That's exactly what they were going for, that it's, you know, they can do pamphlets and lectures, but when you make it interactive and make it fun, things stay with people. Obi-Wan Jabroni says, until now, I always thought the CDC was a fictional place in The Walking Dead. If there's ever a zombie apocalypse, I'm hauling arse, he's British, to Atlanta, Georgia. Keep a light on for me, and Coca-Cola vanilla on ice. And I do want to say, and I pointed this out to him, and he said he's going to hang out in my house instead, that if your only vision of the CDC is from The Walking Dead and the end of season one, you can find that building, and it's not the CDC. That building is actually a performance venue. It's the Cobb Energy Center is the actual name of it. It's not very far from where I live, and that's where I saw Weird Al perform. So I've technically seen Weird Al in the CDC, but they use the exterior for that, and then even some of the interior stuff in The Walking Dead was done in the lobby of the theater, and it's not actually the CDC. Apparently, I haven't seen this. I think it's a Brad Pitt movie, Outbreak. I think it was Brad Pitt. Not World War Z, but I think it was Outbreak. They actually did shoot at the actual CDC offices, and it was kind of funny talking to when I was doing the Games for Health Jam, talking to the CDC people off air about the experience of having the movie crew in the office for the day. That was actually shot at the real CDC, unlike The Walking Dead. Breakman says, wait, Bobby lets listeners hide out at his house. No, not you. Xeno, of course, hid out in my apartment back when I had an apartment, but that's about it. Flacco Jones then said, I love what Ben Sawyer, who's one of the heads of the Games for Health movement, said about how technology has improved and come down in price thanks to the popularity and innovation of video games. It's too bad the news tries to blame games for so much that's wrong when they actually help more than they could ever hurt, which is true. And, I mean, even, with better technology, your cell phone or your mobile phone, the reason it's so fast is because people play games on it. And that's why they always push the limits of the CPU and the GPU on the mobile devices and make them smaller and not as hot. It's to deal with gamers and the strenuous tasks that games put on these systems. And he also says the Can Tower of Doom is amazing because I put pictures and YouTube videos in the VOG Network episode description. In the Can Tower of Doom, it had all these Coke products. Do they even sell Pepsi in Georgia? No, they don't. And if you ask that while in the state of Georgia, you get kicked out of the state of Georgia. On Delta, because there's no way to get out of Georgia without flying Delta. I promise you. So no. And especially like on college campuses, like Coca-Cola has I think all the college campuses in Georgia are fully owned by Coca-Cola in terms of what the vending machines can have. And that's where this was. CL says, so no Dragon Con parties at the Black Wolf residence? No, because I stay in the hotels at Dragon Con. I don't even go home. I don't want to be in my own house during Dragon Con. I don't think anybody else wants to be in my house at Dragon Con. So no, there's no Dragon Con parties at my house. So I do want to point out that I talked about the Games for Health Jam. And talk to some of the finalists, or not the finalists, but a lot of the people that were involved. The Games for Health Jam did end at Siege. Basically, the four finalists went on to Siege, which is where I was this past weekend. That's the Southern Interactive Entertainment and Game Expo. It is kind of like GDC. It's not a convention. It's a conference is the way that I kind of say it. And it's got panels and parties, yes, but it's mostly panels, and it's geared towards students getting into the industry. I've been going to Siege for many years and, met up with a lot of great people. And, last year I actually came out with all these great interviews and stuff. And this year I don't actually have any interviews. So you don't have to sit through any interviews, in the next couple of weeks, from Siege. It's not to say that you're not going to hear anybody that I met at Siege. But it was basically, I do pick and choose what type of content I want to present to you guys. And I don't want to overload on one particular thing. And either that or I interviewed them last year. And not much has changed. So there's no interviews from this year's Siege. But they did have the Games for Health Day, which was very interesting considering it pretty much didn't exist, the Games for Health Day. Because, here's the problem with the Games for Health Jam. It was done by the CDC. And it was a project of the CDC, funded by the CDC. And they were bringing a lot of their people. The CDC was sending a lot of people to Siege to judge for the winners and stuff. And if you follow the news right now, you probably know where I'm going with this. Those people are out of work right now. They're furloughed, and so they didn't show up because they couldn't. And so they did actually judge a winner of the Games for Health Jam. It was a game called Kitchen Outbreak. It was not one of the games that I had covered last week. But it's basically about food preparedness and food preparation and an outbreak of diseases from, faulty food in restaurants. And they were the ones that were chosen by a panel of serious games judges and people from and Ben Sawyer was there from Games for Health. So there were still people involved in the project. But the CDC themselves did not choose the winner because they could not be there. And that actually affected some of the things that attendees were going to Siege to hear about and to spread awareness of things like what the CDC is trying to do in the video game space. So it's, the government shutdown actually did hit and did hurt Siege a little bit. They soldiered on. Siege was a great show. That definitely was not like the main part of the main conference that I went to. But it was very interesting to see that, the government shutdown actually affected video games and a video game event in that way. So Breakman says, so it was a game about Taco Bell. It was actually, you guys would love this game. And I don't have the YouTube, and I didn't get to talk really much to the team. I did talk to one person from the team, but not on microphone. It's a former luchador that basically retires from the ring and takes up his second passion, which is cooking. Like, that's the main storyline of the game. You can actually look up the YouTube video. If you go to last week's episode, you can see that I linked to the finalist in the main description. And you can look at Kitchen Outbreak, and that's exactly what it is. It's like this luchador in the wrestling mask with, cooking knives, preparing food. That's what Kitchen Outbreak is. So you guys would like that. I figured you guys would like that. I was mostly at Siege. I was actually both there as press and talking to some people there, as well as promoting my article and my series and the podcast about the Oculus Rift. And it's kind of funny because everybody's like, "So, do you do an Oculus Rift podcast?" I'm like, "No, I don't," because they'd kill me if I did, because nobody else has it. But I actually did speak on a panel about the Oculus Rift. It's Saturday at 10 a.m. because they thought it'd be hilarious to have a whole bunch of hungover people at 10 a.m. talking about virtual reality. Did it with two independent developers from Athens, Georgia, from the University of Georgia, and it was no pressure at all because the night before, I could actually hear people talking about going to that panel in the next morning. And they didn't know that I was on the panel. They didn't know who I was or anything, but I could hear them talking about it and all the buzz, and then other people would be telling me that they were looking forward to my panel and stuff, because I actually had like the bio and the glossy. It's a high point of my life. I'm going to keep that book forever. But we went in, did the panel. My googly-eyed Oculus Rift was on display, and we talked about a little bit about developing specifically for the Oculus Rift. And then more a lot on the philosophy of how to develop games for the Oculus Rift. What has worked? What hasn't? Why can't I play Skyrim? Why do I not want to play Skyrim in the Oculus Rift? Because it would be awesome. And it's not awesome, by the way, because I did it a couple days ago, and it's not awesome. But, things like that. And the panel is going to be put on YouTube. It's not on there now. It's probably going to be by the end of the week, or maybe the week after. There's another group here, a media group called Altered Confusion, and I actually met Charlie, who's the editor there. I met him at the Games for Health Jam, and we bonded there, and then we met a lot more at Siege, and he actually recorded the panel with his equipment, and he's going to be posting it up on YouTube. And when I get that link, I'm going to spam it out to all of you so you can watch me and two independent developers gush about the Oculus Rift for an hour. And then you won't get to see the part where I actually set up in an expo booth that was not taken, which meant I should have brought my VOG stuff and hung it up in the booth, and demoing the Oculus Rift for 5 hours. So a lot of people got my Oculus Rift on, and for those that are wondering for the health things, one thing that you really should do if you are demoing the Oculus Rift and if you go to a show and demo it, I had lens wipes with me. Because I was kind of warned that something happened at PAX Prime. And every time somebody would take off the Rift, I would use the lens wipes on the lenses. Because there was actually an outbreak of pink eye at PAX Prime from the Oculus Rifts, from people having that close to their eye. And it's very contagious, so I used a clean lens wipe. I went through so many lens wipes in those 5 hours. But I did that to kind of keep the Oculus Rift clean. So but a lot of people really liked it. Only like two or three people had to take it off, said they were getting dizzy. The demos that we played, for those that are familiar with Oculus Rift stuff, most people wanted to play Time Rifters, which is the first-person shooter. That was about 75% of the demos. It was also the longest demo I had, which kind of sucked. Everybody wanted to play that. There were a couple people that played First Law a lot, which is the space dogfighting game. And the reason they wanted to play that is because the biggest game development studio in Atlanta is CCP. And so everybody there wants a job at CCP, so they are very much into EVE Online and things like that. And with EVE Valkyrie, their space dogfighting game that uses the Oculus Rift, it was originally called EVR, they want to know what that's like. And they were kind of hoping I would have EVE Valkyrie, which CCP doesn't talk to me. And they're not even developing it in Atlanta. They're developing that in Newcastle, UK. And but they played that to kind of get the idea of what a space dogfighting game would be like. And then, I had people doing the Rift Coaster, the same YouTube videos that you see all the time. So it was a lot of fun. It was fun to see people's reactions. And there were people that came in multiple times. There was one kid that came in to play Dumpy Going Elephants, which was second place at the VR Jam, but it's basically you're an elephant and you have this trunk. And he almost broke my Oculus Rift because he was really getting into it and almost slammed my Oculus Rift into the railing next to the chair that he was sitting in. And I said, yeah, I was worried there for a little bit because, I didn't want to break. Oh, he's like, oh, you were worried about the Rift, not me. I'm like, no, I was worried about you too because I would have killed you. And he was like, well, I would have replaced it. And, $300. You might have had $300, but then I would have had to wait 2 months to get a replacement. So I did not let him play Dumpy again, even though that's what he wanted to do. But it was a lot of fun at Siege. And I do want to thank Siege for having me out and letting me take part in some of the festivities and being a part of it other than just an observer. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase Flood. That was pretty much Siege. There was one more thing I wanted to talk about at Siege, and it's I have never experienced something like this. And I even like actually tried this game out after it, and I have been resisting for a long time. So the other CCP is one of the biggest companies. It's probably the biggest game company that's known in Atlanta. The second biggest is a company called Hi-Rez Studios, and they specialize in PvP games. And the main game that they are promoting right now is a game called Smite. And this is a MOBA. It's a MOBA centered around ancient gods fighting each other. It is a lot like League of Legends and a lot different than League of Legends. But it's a huge esports game, not as much as League of Legends. But there are big esports prizes and stuff. Now, while League of Legends was set up in the Staples Center in Los Angeles, they did a huge event Saturday night at Siege in the ballroom of that hotel room, where they flew in the top two teams, the teams that got first and second place at PAX Prime, which is the Smite World Championships, brought them in. They actually brought in a YouTube channel, people from a YouTube channel. They have 6 million subscribers. They're called The Creatures. They flew all them into Atlanta, did stuff with them around the Hi-Rez office, and then took them down to Siege. And apparently this YouTube channel, I mean, when they say 6 million subscribers, they have a lot of fans, because I saw there was like lines and lines of kids and teenagers lining up just to meet these YouTube sensations. I had never heard of them before Saturday, but apparently they're pretty well known among their target audience, and they were all there to watch this. And then that night they did, it was for charity, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, and it was Child's Play. They were going through Child's Play and benefiting the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, and they were doing a live stream of they had the YouTube group play the developers from Hi-Rez, and then they had the top two teams that finished at PAX Prime play each other for charity, a 2 out of 3 games of Smite on Twitch TV. But they had this huge setup, big screens, 3-camera shoot, everything, the whole 9 yards, lighting, thumping music, commentators. I mean, and it's the first time I've ever been to a live esports event. I'm not a fan of esports personally. I don't mind that they exist. I'm just not a fan. I never thought I would see myself actually at a live esports event. And I didn't stay for the whole thing. I watched the pre-show match of the YouTube group against the developers, which ended with the game crashing because the developers tried to hack and spawn as like a Minotaur or something and just go rampaging around the map, and that crashed the server. So the creatures won. But it was a really interesting experience being there and watching, you know, and the crowd gets into it just like in a sporting event. And the tools that Hi-Rez has built into Smite for directors and spectators, it really helps. And, you know, especially when you have a guy that really knows the game really well explaining it, I actually kind of understood what was going on. It was kind of interesting. And so today I actually installed Smite after Hi-Rez has been asking me to for like many, many years. And I can't even beat the tutorial. So it's obviously not a game for me, but it's free. I think smitegame.com. It is a free-to-play game. There is, you know, a cash shop, but it's not pay-to-win. It's just like skins and other things. I mean, there's gods. You can buy other gods. But other than that, it's, you know, skins and stuff like that. And you don't need to buy any of the other gods to win, but it helps to know what all the gods can do if you really want to take it seriously. So, yeah. So, I actually watched a live esports event, and I don't think I'm ever going to watch one again. So the one story I do want to talk about, because I was at Siege this weekend, so I didn't get to see, you know, I didn't really keep up that much with the news, and I even started the show a little bit late because I had trouble getting things back up after not being home for several days. I do want to talk about this. This actually happened a couple weeks ago, and I did want to talk about this because there's still some news trickling out, but it's about the one sports game I actually did really care about, and that's NCAA football. And there is going to be no more NCAA football. EA Sports reached a deal with there were a couple of suits, lawsuits, antitrust suit filed by Ed O'Bannon, who was from UCLA. And there were right of publicity suits filed by Sam Keller of Arizona State University and of Nebraska, Ryan Hart of Rutgers, and Shane Alston of West Virginia. They sued the NCAA, they sued EA, they sued this collegiate licensing company, basically wanting royalties from the use of their likeness that they did not authorize. And the problem that exists right now is that the NCAA bylaws don't allow student athletes to make any money because they're getting a scholarship, they're getting free tuition, and they're getting a free education, a free college education. And so they say that the students should not make any more money at all. And, you know, some former players disagree. And so EA Sports actually settled and then said, we're not making any more college football games. So right now, we're not making any more college football games, which I heard something, and I could not find the source for this. So I can't really, you know, so this is, I guess, now rumor, because I can't remember where I read it, and I could not find it in my Google Foo. That what they actually did at Tiburon down in Orlando is that they actually laid off a lot of people from both the NCAA and the Madden teams and then merged the two teams into one. So they've even gotten rid of the people that were working on the college football game. So it's gone. Like, it'll be a couple years, even if things change. It'll be a couple years before we see another college football game. It's going to be just Madden. And they even laid off some Madden people, according to this, what I was reading. That they laid off a couple Madden people to and brought in like some of the top NCAA guys, and so they're all going to work on Madden. Does this mean that Madden may be a better game next year? I don't know. Tiger Claw asks, could 2K Sports start making college football games? Well, it's still the licensing thing. Nobody. What basically wound up happening, why they canceled, is because the NCAA withdrew and said they weren't going to re-sign, which is fine because they didn't really need the NCAA. Then the SEC said that they were going to withdraw, which meant you couldn't use the SEC logo, you couldn't use the SEC championship game, you couldn't do any of that stuff. And then rumor has it one major school, and I think the rumor was Ohio State, which is a big football powerhouse, as much as I hate to admit it because I don't like Urban Meyer, but Ohio State University said they were not going to participate. So you suddenly could not play as Ohio State in the game, and they couldn't have any Ohio State stuff. It was on a school-by-school basis. So basically, it was not going to be an accurate simulation, which is what people expect from the NCAA games. So EA Sports said, you know, we're going to settle, and then we're going to get out. We're not going to be a part of this because the NCAA needs to figure this out. EA Sports says they were caught in the middle. Well, it turned, you know, What's funny is that the attorney for the players didn't want the game to stop. Polygon has reported that for Electronic Arts, the maker of the NCAA football series of college football video games, the long court battle in the collegiate athlete player likeness lawsuit is ending, as is the series itself, at least for now. But that wasn't the goal of the lawyers for the athletes. So according to Leonard Aragon, partner of the law firm Hagness Berman Sobol Shapiro LLP and lead counsel for the players, in a phone interview with Polygon, he says, quote, "We would have happy to have the game go forward. It was never our intent to not have this game continue," unquote. Aragon declined to comment on the reported amount of the settlement, which was, I think, about, what, $4 million, something like that, but did provide a few details about the nature of the agreement between his clients, EA, and the Collegiate Licensing of, Company, which is the CLC. Says, quote, "We didn't tell them to cancel the game. We would be fine if they published a game." And he also said that there's no language in the settlement agreement that prevents EA from continuing to develop and publish college football games. In fact, quote, "There's really nothing about future name, image, or likeness use in the agreement. There's nothing stopping them from making the game so long as they don't use players' name, images, or likenesses. Or they could just pay the students," which they didn't really agree to, unquote. So there's other people that are saying that EA probably would be okay with paying the students if the NCAA would let them. But then you got your detractors saying that this is good, that EA is finally going to stop profiting off them, and that there was nothing stopping EA in the past from putting the royalty money in a trust fund and then giving it to the college students when their eligibility was ended. There's nothing against that in the NCAA bylaws. In fact, that's what Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, is doing with some of his with his lawsuit money that he's suing for his name and some of that stuff, is that the settlement's going into a trust fund, which he will collect once he goes pro. And EA Sports could have voluntarily done that, and there was nothing the NCAA could have said about it, but they're not doing that. And so it's a very convoluted situation, but a lot of people, I think, lost their jobs. I can't find that article for the life of me, which is always sad to see, especially if you were working on something as much of a cash cow and as popular, and I mean, that's a steady gig if you can work on one of those games and be good at your job. That was pretty much one of the most steady gigs in the industry, I'd think, because you release the one game and then you're immediately working on features for the next game. There was that, and I do think that it's going to be really hard. My opinion on this is college players should be able to get compensated, but I don't want college football to turn into a pro league where colleges can buy players. We've already seen that. It already happens, and it sucks, but it doesn't happen on a grand scale. It happens on a small scale with a handful of high-value teams that have, good boosters and can avoid the NCAA. But I do think that, a trust fund or something that pays out afterwards, I think that should be established to help, and then we won't have to worry about naming rosters, which puts some people who do make money naming rosters out of business, and that'd be great. SJ Wonder Matt says, "Johnny Manziel and Teddy Bridgewater are still paying for living expenses out of pocket. Meanwhile, their respective universities make millions off of them." And something has to be done. I don't know what. I just like playing the NCAA football video games, and I'll be sticking with the one they currently have for now and just downloading roster updates, because that's all they are anyway, right? LOL. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then I'm going to take your calls about anything. Probably not about sports, but maybe about esports. I don't know. But we'll take your calls about anything just after this. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
Hey, this is Obi-Wan Jabroni, and I'm not beating up Jar Jar Binks. I'm listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show right here on VogNetwork.com. And oh yeah, one more thing, Hogwash.
Obi-Wan Jabroni with a brand new bumper. See, that's how it's done. He sent me an MP3 file with just his voice. I put the Cantina music behind it because he said he was going to beat up Jar Jar, which we can all agree with. By the way, the JJ in JJ Abrams stands for Jar Jar. And he did that and sent it to bumpers at bobbyblackwolf.com. Or you can leave a voicemail on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1 and do it that way. But that's how you do it. I like new bumpers. I have another new bumper that I'll play soon, sometime. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get that 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep even if you cancel before the trial is over. There's a whole bunch of audiobooks on there. Why not make anything there your free audiobook? All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. So the phones are open. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. If Skype decides to behave. I did try to play Grand Theft Auto Online, and it didn't go well. We'll talk about that after this call. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is Act Deft.
Act Deft, what's up, man?
Family sharing on Steam.
Family sharing on Steam. So are you? Did you ever get into that?
Yeah, I got into the beta.
Oh, I hate you.
Registered user 1,100 something, so I had to get now into the beta. So yeah. I've been testing it with my brother since I have a ton of games on Steam, but he only has a few. So he's basically my tester right now with the family sharing thing, and it's working pretty good.
The way that I understand it is basically, at least in this beta, is that the minute you play any game in your library, it kicks him out after 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, I haven't tested that because we're using the same computer.
Okay.
So it's not a problem for us in a sense that he's gonna get kicked out.
Okay.
I'm gonna kick him out, but literally of the computer when I need to use it.
And that's the fun part, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we haven't encountered any problems yet, other than maybe the trading cards. The user or the gamer, in this case, playing the game. If he doesn't know the game, he doesn't get trading cards. That's the only thing we have encountered.
Oh damn! They're gonna have to actually buy the game to get the trading cards. Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, and it's not a big problem. So
it's not a problem at all. It's not a small problem. It's not a problem at all.
But he has gotten achievements. That's has been playing most of the games I have, and without any problem or any hassle. So it's a pretty good stuff right now. All right. That Steam is doing.
I look forward to trying it myself whenever Valve wants to let me try it.
Probably soon.
I hope. Gabe, if you're listening, I know you're not, but hook me up. Send me a Steam machine, too, just because.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Just because. All right, anything else, man?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We did have somebody else also try to call in. So Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Call in, talk about anything. And the other call will probably come in really soon. But I did try to play Grand Theft Auto Online, but I only tried to play the first couple days. So either I went straight to a black screen for the entire time, or I couldn't even get into the opening mission. So we do have another call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby. It's Obi-Wan Jabroni.
Obi-Wan Jabroni. What time is it?
1 a.m., sir.
1 a.m. Well, thank you so much for staying up. What's going on, man?
Oh, not much. Just kicking back, listening to your show. And as they say, first time, long time.
Yeah, it's always good to hear it.
So I've been following you for a while. About, what, 5 years?
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But first of all, I want to say congratulations for 400.
Thank you.
Even though I know technically I'm 4 weeks out. But there is good reasons behind it. So when you had your 400th show, as you know, I was down in alcoholic beverages, and an English guy calling in semi-drunk to your show, probably not a good idea, right?
No.
Yeah, anything can happen. Anything could go wrong. And if podcast listeners don't know, Bobby Blackwell, he's kind of a big wig around.
Somewhat. I try.
So. You know, probably I'll end up with 0 points or something like that. You never know.
I can do negatives. I just haven't yet.
Exactly. Almost did it to Act F one time.
And also, your show, Bobby, is it's like a fine steak dinner, isn't it? I mean, you go into a restaurant, you get your steak however you want, mm-hmm. well done or medium rare, whatever. Some creamy mashed potatoes. Yeah. You know what I mean? No lumps, because no one likes lumps on in the mashed potatoes, right? Maybe a little bit of butter on top. Maybe some mushy peas at the side, followed by a fine Italian wine. See, that's what your show is like, Bob. You know what I mean?
I'm hungry now.
I probably made everybody hungry. Yes. And then everyone is asking, probably, well, if Bobby's show is like a fine steak dinner, what is Orange Lounge Radio like? You know what?
What's that?
I'll tell you. Oil art is like a sexy dessert.
Yeah.
Yeah, creamy, strawberry, sexy dessert. If USL can have a sexy drink,
right,
then OLR can have a sexy dessert, followed by Rob Roberts coming out in a silky robe, silky red robe, giving you a massage.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Boy, I can't wait till Rob hears this. I know he's not listening right now, I know, but he'll hear this
in
his new glasses. his serious face glasses. If you guys don't follow Sky on Twitter, you should look. And he posted pictures of him in his serious glasses. He's very serious.
So yeah, just to change gears to gaming, because it's a gaming show, not food and massages.
No.
So you know Europe and the rest of you listeners know Europe is getting a packing game. Well, two packing games,
right?
FIFA 14 and Forza 5, I want to say.
Okay.
Have they said anything in the States? Because I've not been following them.
Nope.
Oh, have they not? No?
Nope.
Oh, my. Well, I got the Day 1 edition. My pre-order's in for the Day 1 edition with FIFA 14. That code, I'm telling you, is going to go up on eBay, because I'm not a FIFA guy, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I am from the country that apparently invented football.
Yeah.
But no, I prefer PES, Pro Evolution Soccer. Mm-hmm. And so my code will go up on eBay, but I am really shocked they've not said anything for you guys. That is unbelievable.
I mean, I'd be so happy if we got Forza 5, because that's the game I wanted to buy anyway.
Right.
But I don't know. You see, I think Microsoft might believe, not that I agree with them, but they might believe that they don't need to pack in a game in the U.S. because we're all going to buy it anyway. And they need to pack in something in Europe to convince them to buy it, because Sony has such a great stranglehold on Europe and Japan, and Microsoft's not really caring about Japan. So I think that might be what they're trying to do, and they don't feel they need to do it in the U.S. People will buy it no matter if there's a pack-in game or not in the U.S., where in Europe people probably need a little bit more incentive.
Yeah, and FIFA 14 is good as I don't understand Forza. But, I mean, the Forza game, just so you know, it's a physical copy. Like, you get it in a case and everything. The FIFA one is just a code.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get that whole, you know, thing behind that. I'm kind of disappointed on that one.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I know I made everybody hungry. I apologize.
Yes, I know. I haven't eaten dinner. And now I want a steak and mashed potatoes and some fine Italian wine.
And a cigar.
Yes. Mom, sit back on my throne, looking down at all the peasants, kicking Breakman out of chat. It's going to be great. Well, it's great to hear from you. Thank you for the bumper.
No problem.
Go kick Jar Jar again for me.
I will get him out of my closet and give him a good kicking.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
One more thing before I get out of here.
Yes?
Hogwash.
Hogwash. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So that's all the calls that we're going to take tonight. It's good to hear from him. He actually warned me that it was going to call, so I was looking forward to it so much. So we will check in. Coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, Orange Lounge Radio. They are the sexy dessert, apparently. And, you know, we like to check in with them, three people out in Sacramento, California, talking about games, just like the sexy dessert that they are. Sacramento, you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. See, you need... Where have you been? You didn't chime in at all tonight.
I may have been cheating on you
a little
bit tonight, Bobby. I am sorry.
And you missed Obi-Wan Jabroni talk about you being a sexy dessert and coming out, and you're going to have to listen.
Oh my god! Well, get that podcast up timely so I can. That's the beautiful thing about podcasts, though, is that if you ever miss it live, it's always right there on the podcast feed for you. So that's what I'm going to have to rely on tonight. I was actually guesting on another show tonight. Can I plug it, Bobby? Or are your feelings too hurt?
Is this Gamut?
Yes, it's Gamut.
Oh my god!
I'm just kidding. No, our pal Gamut and his frenzies Day and Uno, they do a podcast called Let's Wow Podcast. And unfortunately, because they just didn't know of VOG when they started, you know, 6 months ago or however long they've been on, they happened to record at the exact same time as Bobby. So I was over there, literally just got off the phone with them 2 minutes ago. And now here I am getting ready to do OLR with my pals Dark Sakura and Loki and our guests tonight we have over here.
But I'm crying. I'm gone for 2 weeks. I take 1 week off, and you decide I'm going to go somewhere else.
It was in the name of promotion for all of us, Bobby. I always say, you know, even with these shows that are up against each other, you know, download one and listen to the other live. Yes. You pick what works for you.
Yes, listen to me live and download them.
That's perfectly fine.
Gemmett's awesome, to be fair. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just playing.
Yeah, he's been a great support of the Horde House show and all that. And I really should plug his charity stream too. He's doing one of those streaming video games, you know, all day via Twitch to raise money for breast cancer awareness, which I think is great cause. He's doing it. It's a little weird day. It's a Tuesday. He's going to do it October 12th, but he is running all day, noon to noon on Wednesday. So drop in and say hey and help bring awareness. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month after all. Yeah. To a worthy cause. I think I always love it when gamers make good news. Just like when you had the CDC thing going last week, and you know, it's all those things we don't always get to hear about. Unfortunately, it's angry Grand Theft Auto 5 moms.
Right.
Yeah. That would be totally awesome as an excuse for me to take off a 24 hours from work. Yes, murdering for breast cancer.
Well, I don't know how much I should get into it, but let me just say that Gemmett's employment is on hold right now until...
Yeah.
That's all.
So I actually played a game that you know, it's not a game that you actually talk about on Horde House, but you talk about this genre as well. I finally played Smite.
Awesome. I've heard about it, but I haven't played it myself.
I am terrible at it.
I'm terrible. Now go play League of Legends and Dota 2 and be terrible at those two. That's where I'm at. I love the tutorial in Dota 2, though. If you think you might be able to get into that kind of game and you just need a little more work or a little more time to learn, I really do recommend Dota 2's tutorial. And League of Legends, to be fair, doesn't have a bad one either. I just, for whatever reason, I really liked how Dota did it.
Yeah. Smite's tutorial is fine. It was just like, I mean, I did the tutorial just fine. It's like, here's how you play and you know, here's how you do this. And it makes sense. The whole MOBA concept, it's a MOBA like League of Legends, if people haven't heard of it. And I like the concept, you know, okay, you start at level 1 and you go up to level 20. It takes about 30 minutes and you're trying to, in Smite, you're trying to kill the Minotaur in the other guy's palace. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the goal. And, you know, there's the three lanes and you got to, you know, destroy towers over here. I mean, it makes sense. I just suck at it. and stuff. And even like, I mean, they actually do have, you know, you can do a solo match that, you know, just to, as a tutorial and stuff. And that, you can't set the difficulty of the bot. And that bot was kicking my ass.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, my God. So it's, and you know, I don't want to jump into a regular game because they're just going to tell me to uninstall when I jump into a regular game. So, but it's really pretty. I mean, it's pretty because it's a third person. It looks like, you know, an MMO, you know, the third person behind the person camera. Is how it actually looks when you're playing it.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's very different.
So, like, but the broadcaster mode, it looks like it's the isometric view, kind of like League of Legends, what you see on streams. But when you're actually playing it, it's a third-person camera, just like if you're playing WoW. So it actually is really neat. It is free to play. So you too can try it out, and you can tell me how it compares to Dota 2.
I might have to check that out for real. Like it's not the first time I've heard about this game. I think I have some Twitter peoples that follow that, so I've definitely heard of the game before. I can't help though; the nerd in me keeps thinking of the World of Warcraft pre-stability Smite. Just when I hear it, I go like, "Oh, that's my favorite spell to cast on enemies as I'm leveling as a newbie priest."
So yeah, but each god has its own thing, and you know, it's very deep. But you can also apparently play it very casually as well. But it's getting there in the esports thing. I mean, when I look on Twitch, it's like I see Smite in the top 5.
Oh, nice.
You know, it's like I see League of Legends is always first, sure. Unless like Grand Theft Auto 5 comes out. But like Smite's like number 4 or number 5 is the most viewed game on Twitch.
Nice. Well, those MOBA games do very well. I know Dota 2 is always in the top 5. I'm pretty sure Heroes of New Earth, which is another big one, is usually in the top 10 at least. So, yeah. You know.
So does Grand Theft Auto Online work yet?
Yes.
Okay. Because it didn't the first day, and I haven't been able to try it since.
It's just, yeah, the first day I've played probably about 20 hours this week.
Okay. Yeah, I got a black screen, and then I finally got past the black screen. And it was like, okay, we're going to put you in a race right now. And then it hangs. But that was like Wednesday was the last time I was able to try.
I came really close to jumping in and getting Grand Theft Auto 5, but instead I put the money towards a new little toy that I'm going to be playing with in the coming weeks after Rocky season's finished up.
Now, I will say this, though, because this pissed me off, and then I realized that I didn't have to be pissed off about it if I was just smart. I actually used the shortcut to get into GTA Online, which, you know, you select the bottom character on your character wheel, and it jumps you into GTA Online. And immediately I started hearing people screaming profanities and stuff because it drops you in a public game and it tries to drop you into a race that was public when you first go in. I'm like, so I have to race against randoms just to get to the point because I want to play with friends. I don't want to play with randoms, and it's going to force me to do this. And it turns out it doesn't. You just have to go into the menu and start GTA Online from the start menu, and then it doesn't drop you into random. So if anybody's wondering about that, you don't have to play with random idiots.
I play with random idiots online, but...
you're also Loki.
I do most of the missions solo, so, you know...
Yeah, but Bobby has a point, though. You were also, what, top 25 on Grand Theft Auto 4 for a while?
I was in the top 100, yeah.
Okay, so, you know what...
I'm trying to reclaim that now, but, okay. You know, it's going to take some time.
A little tougher this time.
Yeah. Tiger Claw says, is it just me, or does it have no menu screen? The Grand Theft Auto 4 didn't have one either. You have to go in, it loads the story mode, and then you hit start, and that's your menu. But yeah, it loads your most recent save.
To be fair, in the very beginning when you're starting the game, it says in the loading screen you can hit X or A as it's loading and start online instead of single player. It'll just go straight into the online.
I bet that takes you straight in with randoms.
Probably, but yeah. You can switch out of that immediately by just hitting start and then picking what you want to do, and it'll launch a new session for you as well.
I can't wait to be able to play it, and I hope that now that I'm back and now that I'm done with the show, I'm going to be able to play on the 360 pretty soon. I saw that you made me commissioner or something in the crew.
And so Travis. I haven't seen Travis online at all. But
I'm going to be in there on the 360. I know you're doing both. You like the PS3 more?
I'm level 12 on PS3 and 8 on 360. I just checked.
Yeah. So, but I'll be playing on the 360 hopefully very soon. I am looking forward to trying it. And hopefully liking it. Hopefully. So I'll let you know when I want to go in. So what are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Before I address that, I just have to quickly, because I got a text message that I may have botched the date of Gemmett's thing. Okay. His thing is Tuesday, October 15th, the fundraiser. I might have said October 12th, which is the Pokemon X and Y release date. So forgive me. There's a couple big days coming up.
It's also the date of my next show, and I see what you're trying to do here.
No, your day would be October 13th.
Oh, okay.
October 12th is also Rocky in the next Station Live. But anyway, let's talk about what's coming up next right now on Orange Lounge Radio, up next at the Voice Geeks Network. We're going to talk about some launch news, launch things for Xbox One. Nintendo did another one of their directs this week, which means we had a lot of Nintendo news and some more firmwares. Things are starting to move into position to lead for this fall season with, you know, the big console releases and the big holiday season as well. And Jamie's going to be talking about a story that it was something that kind of came up and then went away, and now it's coming back in a big way, and that is the complaints over one big online-only game might actually be working, and they might actually take it offline. So if you don't already know what it is, we'll talk about it coming up next. And Pokemon. We will find out definitively here at the Voice of Geeks Network. Are we Team Fennekin, Chespin, or Froakie? These are the pressing questions people want to know.
I have no clue what you just said. Thanks so much, guys.
You're welcome, as always, Bobby.
So that's it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, the 13th, not the 12th, because apparently I can't add 7. Thanks, VXJ6B, for reminding me of that. Next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. You can catch us live and interact with the show directly. Leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper if you're using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1 or email me an MP3 bumpers at BobbyBlackWolf.com. I'm on Facebook, Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, Twitter at Bobby Blackwolf, or you can go to my website and talk to me there. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet, but I would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, DC Nate, Hecht, Misty, Ronma, Sky, The Rob D, VXJNXV, De Blue Guy, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Shadow Next Gen, Loki, Alan Alchemy, Alpha Kananagram, Bob Coffee, Brad from Pod Culture, Burr, Codeman, Captain Spike, Seal, Critical Myth, Dark Sakura, Act Deft, Degenerate Johnny, Dungeon Buster, E3VL, Eric RPG, Game Guru, Hitstun, Kazan, Mako, Matt Cube, Melted General, Monster B, MXT, Noel, Orange Wright, PKGR92, Raginator, Sean, SJ100 Matt, Tiger Claw, Toagak, True, What Up G and Zappy, and yes, What Up G, to answer the show, your question, I will be wearing pink tomorrow night on ESPN, if they even show me, which they won't, but yes, I'll be wearing pink tomorrow night. See you guys next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.